Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you once again from the great, awesome state of Pennsylvania. We're going to talk today about walking in unity. And this is something that we really feel is very important to get into right now because there's so much, you know, strife and evil in the world and things that's going on that, you know, we see such a need for people to learn how to walk in love. You know, we all need to learn to walk in love even more than we do, because there's always ways to continue to learn to grow and do better all the time. You know, we're not ever thinking that we've arrived and this is the final destination. We've got it all covered, because I think we can always continue to grow in more grace. And so we're going to get into this topic and see where the Lord leads.
Amen.
And so, but before we do that, as my custom is, I want to introduce my beautiful, lovely, wonderful, amazing wife, Miss Norca Karina.
Hi, everyone, again. God bless you. Once again, we just feel so honored to be able to share the Word of God with you. And this is a very important topic, as all the topics that the Lord inspires us to share. And because who doesn't want to walk in peace and unity? Who doesn't want to receive the blessing that the Lord speaks about when we do walk in unity? We do. We do. So let's learn. Let's learn about this topic. And certainly our listeners, they need to be reminded that the fact that we have been honored to share this topic, it doesn't mean that we have a PhD.
No doubt.
A spiritual PhD. We are learning. We are learning. And it's important for us to say that, because we can learn from each other, from the things that, you know, have worked for us, things that have not worked for us. And with the years, we learn that it is much better to listen to what the Word of God says. And certainly it is His desire for us to walk in unity.
Praise the Lord, sweetheart. It's beautiful. Yeah, this is something, Lord, it's pressed upon my heart. The Lord has pressed upon my heart. Today, I was thinking we were going to do a series on miracles, you know, the God of miracles. And I do believe we will get to that, because it's an awesome thing to talk about the God who is the God of miracles, because many people need miracles.
That's right.
And it's one of those exciting topics, you know, because when God steps in, does a work of a miracle in a person's life, you know, a person's life is changed forever. And so, you know, even in this topic of walking in unity, I think it's a miracle to be able to walk in unity.
It is.
Because look at all the evil in the world is because of a lack of unity. And but what would we say? You know, I mean, this is kind of me just thinking out loud in a sense. What would be the source? You know, you can jump in any time, sweetheart, and add anything you feel led to say. Is I was present this question, and I'm presenting to myself as much as anyone else, is what would we say is the source or foundation of unity and walking in unity? My thought is love. That if we love each other, then we're going to endeavor to want to walk in unity. Does that mean we'll always agree? You know, because it seems to be that, you know, it's easy to walk in unity when we're in agreement. Well, if you believe what I believe, you think the way I think, then of course, yeah, we're going to walk in unity. There's a scripture, I think you mentioned it the other day, you know, or somebody, you know, I heard say this, that, you know, let's two agree, you know, how can they walk together
if they don't agree? Right.
Right? So that is speaking of unity.
That's
in a
right.
sense, like if I want to go to California, but you're wanting to go to, you know, Massachusetts, something completely in two different opposite directions, then we're both not going to be able to get to the same place.
That's right.
Because we're going in different directions.
And I also believe that it's important for us, because we're obviously Christians and born again believers, and we are speaking about unity, defining it according to the Bible, the Word of God, which is the true definition of unity. He wants us to walk in unity, but it's not only together physically, you know, because, for example, think about it. When the Lord says that Jesus prayed, and he prayed for our unity, I'm sure we're going to talk about that later. There is a unity that results in us being blessed. And the only way that that unity can end up in a blessing is when that unity, that togetherness, is according to God's word. Why do I bring that up? We have seen thousands of people that have come together in unity to protest something evil or in favor of something evil.
That's true.
We've seen parades, thousands of people that are parading for something that is against the word of God. And they have come together in unity. So are we saying that it is important for us to come together as a group and come in agreement and think alike? Is that enough? Is that what God blesses? No, no. That may seem like it's unity, but just as marriage, for example, is truly defined by God, unity is also defined by God. And today we are speaking about, just to make it clear, right? Today we're speaking about walking in unity biblically.
Right, exactly, sweetheart. Because you know, what's the point of talking about people coming together in a group for a common goal or purpose if the foundation, in a sense, is not, but in reality, is not based on the truth of God's word.
Right.
Because like you said, people can come, you know, the world, in some parts of the world anyway, we remember after October 7th,
that's right,
what happened in Israel, that there were mass amounts of people who come together to come against Israel,
that's,
you know,
right,
to protest and
to celebrate the horror
and the hatred against Israel. But yet it wasn't based on truth of God's word. So unity, as you're saying, is not something we just want to say for the sake of unity.
Right.
We want to be built upon the foundation of God's word.
Amen.
Because Jesus says here in John chapter 17, he says, he tells them, he's praying. He said he's praying for the church. He's praying for his disciples. And he says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. And of course, I'm reading from John chapter 17, verses 12, 13, and 14, but I want to keep reading. And verse 15 says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified by the truth. And I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Wow, this is powerful. I'm going to keep reading, but I want to stop there for the moment. And the Lord is praying the prayer not only for his apostles, but for all of us who have believed, that we all may be one in him and with the Father. But yet that has to has to also mean that we'll be one together because we're being sanctified in the common truth of God's word.
That's right.
And so this has to apply to not only church members in a church, local church, but also in a family, a husband and wife, in marriage, in job situations, whatever it might be. The dynamic is, in terms of the type of relationship or structure, there has to be this unity that's built upon God's word. Now, of course, someone might say, well, you know, that's not going to really work so much all the time, such as in a job environment, because you may be in a place where you're working with unbelievers. Okay, well, that's true. But we're talking about in sense of, you know, where we're able to do that because we're with other believers. And so in Christian ministry, for example, there needs to be unity.
That's right.
How's it going to function and accomplish the goal that God has for it to accomplish in the name of Jesus if there's not unity in that ministry? And the same with the marriage. You know, we know that, I think you've said this yourself, sweetheart, that no one comes into a marriage thinking, oh yeah, I'm going to get divorced one day. You know, but yet we know statistics say that 50% of marriages end in divorce, maybe even more than that now.
Unfortunately.
But the point, you know, with that is that no one sets out to fail.
Right.
But failure seems to continue to happen too often. And yet, what do we do to prevent that failure? You know, we've already made a commitment in our marriage. Divorce is not an option.
That's right.
It's not an option. We're not even going to consider it. But at the same time, that doesn't mean there couldn't be moments of struggle or disagreements or things that may want to tempt somebody to think something like that, you know. But the point in that is this: how do we even solve those problems ahead of time? Because some of the best preventive medication is knowledge ahead of time of what to do and what not to do. You know, what they say, preventive maintenance. You know, I learned that in the military. We would go and do preventive maintenance on vehicles, you know, and it's like, I was, honestly, to be honest, when I was young, 19 years old, I didn't understand the need to go down to the motor pool every week, once a week, to check the oil, to check this, and all these things. We had to go all these checklist processes. Mm-hmm. To me, it seemed like a complete waste of time. You know, why not do that every once in a blue moon? Well, you know what? This is how we kept these vehicles in top condition.
Mm.
Because we were on it all the time. And I think the same thing, it lends to being able to use those same principles in marriage, in business relationship, in ministry, or what have you. And we're able to be able to prevent problems from arising by already being able to understand what kind of problems can arise and how we can nip those in the bud, you might say, even ahead of time, by learning how to walk in love and walk in unity. Because how do we, you know, get to a place of unity without having a plan or some kind of thought process that tells us that we need to do that? Because, you know, I think it's very naive to say, oh, we're in love with each other and all of a sudden everything's just going to work out by itself. Well, you know, that's exactly, I think, how things fail, is because being naive to think it's just going to happen automatically. And it's not. It's going to require effort and work. So this is my little tidbit here for the start of this. I don't know if it's going to end up being a series or just a part one of all, and that's it. What do you think, sweetheart?
I think, this topic is very good, and I believe that we're probably going to get a lot of questions, interaction, comments, which, by the way, we remind our listeners to please write to us. We have an email, which is keithandkarina25@gmail.com. So I there's like so much one wants to say about this. And I also, off the bat, I think the first thing I feel I need to say is that you brought the word love, and truly the fact that the Lord is praying for our unity, it kind of seems like it's not something that just would arise in us naturally. And but the Holy Spirit is in us, and definitely one of the ways that the Holy Spirit helps us grow and makes us more into the image of Jesus is by teaching us how to walk in unity. And in order to do this, we have to surrender. We have to surrender. I think the level of our unity or willingness to walk in unity is going to correlate with our level of surrender. It's beautiful that Jesus spoke about this unity, and he made that contrast with him and the Father. And we wouldn't even think of the possibility of there being any kind of division between the beautiful Trinity. We know that they are in perfect unity. And they are three different persons. It's one God, but three different persons. And of course, it's a triune God. It's a different topic. But the fact that the Lord prayed that kind of unity for us seems something humanly impossible. And I truly believe it is impossible humanly. It is only through the Holy Spirit that we can even aim to desire to reach such unity. And it's not something that is gained once and for all, but it's an ongoing maintenance, as you said, in order to prevent breakdowns. When, you know, Jesus is so in favor of our unity. And it makes sense. You know why? Because as you notice, our body is one body, right? The fact that all our members are attached, it makes us one body, right? And the church is considered one body, and it has one head. So I believe that our level of unity, this wonderful unity that the Lord speaks about, is possible when our authority, our head, our knowledge, our word, our guide is the same one, Jesus. When God is the same one who is leading you and leading me, we are going to find the unity, because if he's our head, he's your head, he's my head, then we have the same word, the same authority, the same love, the same pattern, the same one who's guiding us. He's taking us both towards the same direction. So how can two walk together if they are not in agreement? The fact that Jesus is your God and my God, the fact that, and I'm speaking now, you and I, the fact that you have the Holy Spirit and so do I, he is not taking us different places. He's taking us towards the same goal, which is making us in the image of Jesus. And Jesus is united with the Father. So in Jesus, we find perfect unity. Now, this is just, as you said, just introducing, scratching the surface, because there's so much to say about this. And time is rolling, but I know that the Holy Spirit is going to continue to speak to each one of us, not only where we are in our understanding, in our walk, but also where he wants us to be by the end of this podcast.
Exactly, sweetheart. Yeah, there's a lot to this subject here. I thought the last series was deep. And yet it seems like this is getting deeper even now. And we're in the first part. And wow, I mean, without unity, how do we accomplish anything? And yeah, I think it is, you know, true in regard to the fact that if we don't purpose to go after it with a heart of love, that we're being naive to think it's just going to happen by itself. That's right. The Holy Spirit's going to work it out for us. But yet, you know, we see so much conflict. We see so much disagreement. We see so much strife and all these things. Even Paul talks about, you know, the works of the flesh, you know. And that's a long list if you go to Galatians chapter 5 and read verses 19 through, I think it's 22 or 23, before you get to the fruit of the Spirit. I think the fruit of the Spirit starts at verse 22.
Right.
But yeah, envyings and strifes and outbursts of anger and all sorts of things, you know, that still is within believers, because he's talking to the church, you know, in Galatians. Maybe we should actually go there. You know, before we turn to Galatians 5, I want to look at something here. It's said in Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. He says here that he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. What? For what reason? Verse 12 says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Amen.
That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ.
Amen.
And we can stop there. I can continue on, but we'll stop there. And so that word unity is mentioned there. Till we come into the unity and the faith and into the stature, the measure of the fullness of Christ.
Amen.
So that is the objective, is to bring us all into the unity of the faith. Now, of course, that can mean a lot of things. It apply to many aspects of the Christian walk, you know, in the knowledge of the same truth. In unity of being able to, you know, because even in the process of learning, you know, when we learn something new, we realize, oh, well, we were maybe mistaken in something prior, because if we're coming to a greater form of unity, then we're making adjustments on things where that we're not of unity.
That's true. You know, a good example with that, for example, as you're speaking about knowledge, it doesn't make any sense. It wouldn't work if, for example, those who are in first grade want to go to their sibling's grade who's in 10th grade. You know, they can be in the same school. They're together in the same building, but they can't be united in terms of what they're learning because they don't even have the same foundation. So the first grader cannot go into his sibling's 10th grade and pretend that they can be united in that classroom. They are not in the same place. So I love the way you explained that. We have to, as we grow, and it speaks about that in the verse you just read, it speaks about a level of maturity, and we gain more unity as we gain more knowledge. And of course, the likeness of Jesus Christ.
Amen, sweetheart. That's beautiful, because you said it so eloquently there in terms of, like, school. You know, that's probably the perfect example. It's a better example than I've used, is what commonality does a first grader have with a 10th grader? You know, other than they're both human beings born on planet Earth. Other than that, they don't know the same things. Well, of course, the 10th grader knows everything that the first grader knows. But the first grader is nowhere even near the level. He's just learning the alphabet.
Yeah, right. He's on the road, on the right road, but he's still not there yet.
Right. So this kind of really brings me to maybe the most important point that I'm going to make in this broadcast before we end it here, is that when you're in that place and there's that disparity, that gap of understanding, whatever, maybe who may be more mature versus who's more immature, it isn't so much about which one is which. It's more about, what do you do with that gap? What do you do when there's disunity, it seems, or meaning we have a different understanding of things because we're all still learning and growing? How do we handle that while we're trying to come into unity? You know, and I think this is where love comes in.
That's right.
Because love, what does it say in 1 Corinthians 13? Yeah. That love keeps no record of wrongs, and love is patient, love is kind, and all those things. that if we don't have the bond of love, then I don't think unity would ever be able to work. That unity wouldn't be That's achieved true. Because we, you know, as I was saying in Galatians chapter 5, when we look at the works of the flesh, you know, and it's maybe gives me a whole new take on this, you know, a new revelation. He says here, before he reads, you know, he quotes, Paul quotes about the works of the flesh, starting in verse 19. He says in verse 16, he says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Well, they are to most of us, but some people, they're not so evident because they're used to living that way as if that's normal. And it's sad to say that many Christians live that way as if these are normal things that God accepts. You know, they, you know, more than just tolerates, that he accepts because, well, after all, we're, you know, we're not perfect. And so there's no goal of them, of themselves to become perfect, you know, because you said, well, we can't be perfect because only one was, and that was Jesus. But yet Jesus said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, of course, that doesn't mean we'll be perfectly sinless our whole life where we wouldn't need Jesus. It's basically talking about maturing and coming to the place of completeness in Christ and being able to walk in the way that God wants us to walk, to please and honor him. So here it says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, evil, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. My goodness, I'm glad he stopped there. The list could have went on for another three chapters. Right? Of which I tell you, beforehand, just as I've also told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit,
amen,
is love. Amazing how that's the first one on the list.
First one, that's right.
Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Well, I'm going to quote from the New American Standard on this because that's what I memorized years ago. And I could say it so fast. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Right? But let me back up and slow down. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Amen. 9 aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. And it's amazing how there's a correlation, I think. You know, why is there 9 specific fruits of the Spirit, and then there's 9 gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, right? Mm. Anyway, so that's another subject for another day. Mm. But the bond of peace, love, joy, peace are the first 3. It's amazing to me how love basically almost solves every problem. I mean, you think about even faith, you know, where Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:13, you know, now abide in these 3, love, faith, and hope, but the greatest of these is love. Well, if we had love, then if everyone had love, there would be no need of faith in certain aspects of the word, meaning we have to have faith for divine protection, so God will protect us from the evil in the world. But if everybody walked in love, then there wouldn't be no evil to be afraid of. They have to have faith for. You know, we put locks on our doors because somebody might try to walk in the house and steal or do something harmful to us. Right. So we use faith in one aspect for divine protection. But if, like I said, if everyone had love, you wouldn't have to be concerned about that.
That's right.
So that's why love is the greatest. And yet it applies to this topic that we're talking about here of walking in unity. How can we walk in unity? Because one is, we don't have all knowledge yet, right? Paul says that we know in part and we prophesy in part, and you know that day will come that we will fully know things, right? But until then, the first grader to get to the 10th grade level, He's going to go through a lot of trials and tribulation and learning experiences and in how you apply that to the natural world here in terms of what we're talking about and coming into unity in the Christian walk is we have to put on the bond of love in order to be able to overcome those struggles, because we're going to have disagreements until we actually learn to see things the same way. Because you, just as you established, sweetheart, in the beginning about the foundation of the truth of God's word. So that means everyone doesn't have the same understanding of the word. They're going to have different beliefs. They're going to have different understandings or interpretations of things. And yet instead of, well, I'm right and you're wrong and you're going to hell and blah, 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 you know, why not learn to walk in love and be kind to one another and say, well, you know what? We're gonna walk together in love, and we're going to let God bring us into that place of oneness and unity where we can come in agreement, because there's only one truth.
That's right. You know, God is perfect, and there is nothing in the Bible that is extra, and there is nothing in the Bible that it was just written to fill up pages and just fill up space. So the fact that the Lord is telling us that we are to walk in unity, just quickly, I want to mention in Psalm 133, because I love this psalm. As a matter of fact, it is a song, but I'm just reading a couple of verses. It says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." This is the word of God, and it says that it is a good thing that we dwell together. And you know what I'm thinking about as we're speaking about this, that who knows, some of our listeners may have been raised in a home that did not know the definition or the existence of the word unity, that they are so used to always being divided in everything, that they just think it's normal, that this is the way it's supposed to be. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever had a blood test. When they, you know, draw blood, they tell you the things that are lacking. And I've noticed that there are some things, for example, when you have iron deficiency, you have anemia, that really plays a toll on the rest of your body and, you know, even how you go about your day. My point to mentioning that is because if we've lived without unity, without living in unity, it takes a toll on us in our emotions, in our mind, spiritually. It does play a toll. And how do I know? Because when we do walk in unity, look at how this verse, this psalm ends. It says, "For there," in other words, when we are walking in unity, "the Lord commanded the blessing." There is a blessing that the Lord himself already commanded upon us when we do walk in unity. So if you're one of those people who it's just natural to you to just be divisive, not just with yourself, but with other people, where the Lord said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." You just know that you're the complete opposite. It's just not natural for you. You know what? It doesn't have to be like that. Let's begin listening and believing what the Lord says. And if he brings this up about unity, let's be honest and say, "You know what, Lord? It doesn't come natural. I don't know. I just feel like I'm a divisive person. I just don't get along. I really want to see my way get done. You know, I really am very strong-willed, and what I say, go, or take the road, Jack, you know." But God is always right. God is always right. And if he speaks about this blessing that is upon those who walk in unity, I want that blessing. I want that blessing. You know, I'm going to end with this on my end. My parents, tomorrow, as we were mentioning, it's their anniversary, but not just their 10th or their 50th. It's their 64th year anniversary. Amazing. That's a long time. And I remember someone asked my mom and said, "How do you do it? How do you do it?" And she's so sweet. And she said, "Well, two things, she goes. She goes with lots of love. I'm sorry, she did say three in Spanish. She said love, lots of patience, and then she said, and don't forget forgiveness.
That's beautiful.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
And you know, and I can say for myself as a witness of that relationship, it's not perfect. You know, he's not perfect. My dad's not perfect. My mom's not perfect. But they love each other. They've loved each other. And so they've learned not just to love each other with, oh, I love you because I'm attracted to you. It's loving the other person with the love of the Lord, and then having patience with each other, as the 10th grader would have to have patience with the first grader, because you know you were there once, and true, that first grader is going to continue to grow, but will make a lot of mistakes, right? And silly questions and getting your way, but you have to be patient. And then also, of course, she said forgiveness, and that makes a big difference when we forgive each other, because we've all been offended, but we've also offended others. So when we forgive others, then we continue to grow. And it's a beautiful thing to walk in unity. God is always right.
God is always right. And that's why love is the bond of peace, that's for right, unity. And so we're going to end this broadcast here. Mm-hmm. But before we do, we want to extend the invitation to those who do not know the Lord as their personal Lord and Savior. And I'm going to take the lead on that this time. My sweetheart's pointing at me to go ahead and do this. So I was thinking the same way. I think we're in unity here already. So yes, if you have not received the Lord Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, why not today? Amen. You know, why take the risk that tomorrow? Because tomorrow's not promised to you. And we want to see you in heaven.
Amen.
We love you, and the Lord loves you. So it's as simple as this. If you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, and you acknowledge that you're a sinner and you need to be saved, and he is the way to your salvation, you receive him as your Lord and Savior to forgive you of your sins and give you eternal life, you shall be saved. The Bible says in Romans 10:8, 9, and 10, that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. Amen. It's as simple as that. If you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. So we offer that invitation to you. And so here you are. Make the decision. You know, you will not regret it.
Amen.
So God bless everyone for listening. And wow, this series is our longest podcast to date, you know, and I think it's going to continue on with part two and maybe even beyond, because this is a deep subject here.
It is, and a good one.
So God bless everybody, and we talk to you later.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.